So this is going to be a little bit of a difficult topic today. Not everybody deals with these issues of self-worth. Some do, some don't. Some may not realize they do. But it's always one of those things where we compare ourselves. We try to figure out, do I really have value in this world? Am I important? Because the way the world looks at us today often tells us that we're not. That we're not going to amount to anything. That we're not going to be what God has actually called us to be. When we determine our self-worth by how others value or devalue us, we're deceiving ourselves. It's a deception. When we live to please others, we're setting ourselves up for a roller coaster ride. I've been on this ride many times. The Bible is filled with examples of how valuable each of you are in the eyes of God. And if God values us so much, why do we try and figure out our own value? Why do we do that? Well, today we're going to look at the dangers of understanding our self-worth from a worldview. We're going to learn how to get past people's perceptions of us and how God actually values us. This is an area in my life where I've struggled many times. Part of my testimony goes all the way back to when I was an infant and went through adoption, and how I felt like I was an outsider. And then I grew up just in a bad situation, the way I had to wear clothes that my mom made. I had astigmatism, a lazy eye, and I had to wear these really large, big glasses at the age of 5. I had a horrible overbite, and so I had braces when I was in 3rd grade. And my mom cut my hair. So you can, are you getting the picture? You start to understand what's going on here? Yes. So I got teased quite a bit as a kid. And I dealt with a lot of self-esteem and self-worth issues growing up. And that may be common for some of you. Maybe it's not. The definition of self-worth, according to the dictionary, is the sense of one's own value or worth as a person, self-esteem, self-respect. Okay, we probably all know that. That's somewhat common sense. We figured that out over the years. According to an article that I read in Psych Alive, it says, although self-worth is often used as a synonym for self-esteem, Dr. Lisa Firestone believes that self-worth should be less about measuring yourself based on external actions, which we all tend to do often, and more about valuing your inherent worth as a person. In other words, self-worth is about who you are, not about what you do. The worldview has a whole different perspective on that, doesn't it? It tries to tell you you're not worthy unless you've done these things in your life, or you've met these goals, or you've established this in your life. And it's totally opposite of God's view. So what are some of the ways that we estimate our own value? One is how others perceive us. My value is based on how somebody else might perceive me. If they think I'm a jerk, then I see myself as a jerk. If they think I can't do anything right, then I think I can't do anything right. That's what I mean by we place our value on somebody's perception of us.
And that's why you shouldn't put labels on your children.
Absolutely, Roy. We also estimate our self-worth by things we've completed in life. Things we've completed. Look at me, I've done all of these things. Maybe it's things that you haven't completed in your life, and so you feel like a failure. You set these targets, you haven't hit them, and so you start to devalue yourself. By our outward appearance, some people put their value based on how they look. Some of us were blessed with good looks like me. I'm just kidding. Some of us were not. And so we put our value on those things, right? How much status we've achieved. Are you president? Are you CEO? Are you vice president? Or are you taking the trash out? These are ways that we look at ourselves and place value on who we are. Searching for self-worth by constantly comparing ourselves to others means that we are fighting a losing battle. I know, especially for teenage girls, because I raised some, that this is a real challenge. You're comparing yourself to other girls, and it's a losing battle. The outside appearance really doesn't equate to a whole lot. And as you grow into an adult, young lady, you will learn that that was just a temporary thing where outward appearance meant a lot. What you'll find is the most attractive women in high school become the big, ugly girls later on. So
They do.
It's the inside that matters, guys. So what are some of the dangers of this approach? Well, number one, we're using human standards to define our value. When the measuring stick isn't right, your measurement's not going to be right. And I've got a little example I'm going to use in this. So in my hand here, I have this bill. Everybody see that? What does it say, 1,000? Okay, this is 1,000 kwacha. It's the Malawi currency. And without anybody Googling, can you tell me what the worth of this bill is?
Probably 10 cents here, if anything.
Okay. Anybody else? Any idea?
A buck?
Okay, a buck. Guess what? All of you are wrong. You know why? Because you don't have anything to compare it to. You don't know what the true value is. Yesterday when I Googled, this is worth $1.39 US.
Wow.
You're all close, but close doesn't count. When we define our own set of measurements, does it really matter? Is it have any meaning? It's all something that we perceive. It's all perception. But it's not accurate. We have to look at what is the accurate measure of our self-worth. Another example. So I've got this piece of paper right here, and I've got two little dots here, okay? How many of you think that that's an inch between each dot?
I can't even see them.
Come on, what's wrong with you guys? There's a dot right here.
We can't see.
And there's a dot right here. You can't even see the dots. That's good.
Trick question.
So again, if I just took a pen and started marking spots on this paper, it's most likely going to be inaccurate. It's not going to be a good measurement, right?
We were better with the Price is Right games.
Let's do that. So by the way, those dots are over an inch in length. The whole point here is this, that if you don't use the right measurement, an accurate measurement, you're going to get a bad result. And that's what we do with our lives often. We're comparing our worth to the wrong things in life. We're looking at the world's view and the world's standard, and they're using a broken measuring instrument.
And it seems to get more broken every day.
Absolutely. You see, we can't measure accurately without an accurate measuring tape. It's all perception, and it's not accurate. You know, true righteousness can only be defined by a righteous God. We'll miss the mark on this one every time because the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How do we know that? Because God sets a standard. He tells us what righteousness is. He tells us the definition of sin and the definition of righteousness. And that's the only mark that really matters in life. Our true worth can only be defined by a sovereign God. He's the one that sets the measuring stick, and he's the one that defines it, and that's what we need to live up to, is God's standard. You know, using these measurements of the worldview is a vicious cycle. It's a never-ending battle that you will be in if that's how you try to value yourself. I've been through this. I've learned that. I've tried every possible way to make myself feel better in life. And every way I pursued outside of Christ was a failure. It made me feel worse. Y'all know who Albert Einstein is? It's a pretty smart guy, huh? Well, he defined insanity as this, and many of you have probably heard this before. Doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. That's what the world system offers you. It's insanity. You're not going to get a different result by doing the same things over and over again. Dr. Neff says that there's always someone richer, more attractive, or successful than we are. That's true. One study at the University of Michigan found that college students who base their self-worth on external sources, including academic performance, appearance, and approval from others, reported more stress, anger, academic problems, and relationship conflicts. They also had higher levels of alcohol and drug use, as well as more symptoms of eating disorders. The same study found that students who base their self-worth on internal sources not only felt better, they also received higher grades and were less likely to use drugs and alcohol or to develop eating disorders. That's a study that I don't think we needed to tell us that. But that's what happens when we start to use the world's system of measuring our self-worth. It's a vicious cycle, and it will lead you into Satan's snare. So what are some examples of how we value ourselves based on the perception of others?
You've always got to compete with your neighbor for the best house or the next new car or...
That's one way.
Things like that.
Yeah, it's jealousy, right? Another one is this: your mood is set by someone else's mood. When somebody has that kind of influence over how you feel about yourself, that's the world system's way of measuring yourself. If you're constantly jealous of someone else, that's one way that we measure our self-value. If I don't have the house that they have, I'm not as good as they are, and therefore I need to obtain that. I know people that set these ridiculous goals in their life. They're absolutely ridiculous to make them feel better about themselves. And the problem is, a lot of times there's no way they're going to obtain that goal, but their whole life pursuit is to hit that goal, and they're missing everything else in their life because they're so focused on that one thing. And once they hit that thing, they're going to learn that they wasted their whole life. I know people that have done this. Another one stems from codependent relationships. Codependency, I think, is a mental disease that forms because of our self-esteem issues, how we were treated as a child, the environment we grew up in. One of the things I learned about codependency is that if you are unable to find satisfaction in your life outside of a special person, then you're probably codependent and you're basing your value on somebody else. If you recognize unhealthy behaviors in a relationship but stay in that relationship in spite of them, that means you have a self-worth issue. You're measuring yourself the wrong way. If you're giving support to someone at the cost of your own mental, emotional, and physical health, that means you've got some self-worth issues. So why do we do this? Number one, I think a lot of times people have been told they're worthless. They've been made fun of. They've been teased. They've been ridiculed. They've been put down. That's where things started in my life at a young age. I just described my appearance, and you guys are already cracking up because it was. I was goofy. And I got teased a lot. And it really, over time, I started to devalue myself. And I would do unhealthy things to make myself feel better. People do this because they grow up in a dysfunctional household. You know, we've all heard the stories, and some of you live through this, where the parents or some authority figure in your life make you feel like you're worth nothing. You can never do anything right. You're not going to amount to anything. You're a failure. You're a deadbeat. If you've heard those things in your life, I'm going to tell you right now, that is a lie.
Well, but you know, it happens even to the most popular kid in school, because when I was going to school, I was friends with the high school quarterback. But the thing is that he'd never let anybody over his house. There were very few people that ever got to go to his house because he lived in the crappiest house in the crappiest neighborhood. And the reason why is because his dad was an alcoholic and he never wanted anybody to come over and see how he lived.
Right.
And he made himself into the quarterback of the football team, into the most popular kid in school because of the fact that he was living this way at home, so he had to be this way at school.
Yep.
We also have a need to feel loved and accepted. That is a basic human need, to feel loved and accepted. And if that need isn't being met, we do unhealthy things. We feel very low about ourselves, and we're willing to do other things that are just not healthy to get that love and acceptance. We want to please someone else by meeting their goals instead of our own goals. That's another reason we do this. We're trying to be a people pleaser. And so we start to devalue ourselves for these reasons. All these reasons, by the way, are a deception. They're not real. They don't help you any way in your self-worth. If we place our value on any of these man-made measurements, we are deceiving ourselves and those around us. And that's what they are. They are man-made measurements that don't really matter, to be honest with you. It's all up here. We'll never measure up to these things. The target will be different every time. Once you start to get close to that target, it keeps going up. It's like a dog chasing his tail. It's pointless. More importantly, is the target's not even real. It's a made-up target. So why do we do these crazy things? I was caught in that cycle. I chased my tail for years, trying to make myself feel better about who I was. You know, I thought if I could make more money, if I could get a higher position, if I could just wear the most expensive clothes and do just silly things, then I would be more accepted. I'd feel better about myself and all these things. And I'll tell you what, it made me into a worse person than I was. It wasn't until I found Christ that I found freedom from that. According to God, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's Psalm 139, 14. Fearfully and wonderfully made. God says that about you. So why do we question that? Why do we doubt that? Why don't we believe that?
Because of the worldview.
Because of the worldview, absolutely. You guys, the worldview is a lie. It's a bad measurement. There is so much hatred towards Christianity today, and there's so much hatred in this world. It is so sad. You know, Nelson and his team, and Robert, you've experienced this. You guys go out and witness, and people start calling you names, and they show hatred towards you. And so if you let that sink in and you believe what they have to say, it's going to hurt. You have to remember that God's word nullifies all of that. There is nothing you can nor need to do to increase your self-worth. Even though the worldview says you have to do all of these things in order to be accepted and loved and recognized in this world, it's a lie. According to God's word, you don't have to do anything. It says you are made in the image of God in Genesis 1. If you're made in the image of God, then you must be pretty worthy. Nothing else in creation was made in the image of God, not even the angels. You were. Each one of you were made in His image, in His likeness. That's pretty significant. The devil doesn't like it, so he's going to tell you, no, You're not worthy of the image of God. That wasn't for you. That was for somebody else. You're not in his image. That's a lie. You are. God does not make mistakes. You are not a mistake. You are planned. He purposed you from the beginning and put you here for his purposes. 1 John 3:1 says this, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are." The reason why the world does not know us is that it does not know him. You are a child of God, made in his image. Isaiah 62:3 says this, "You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God." That's how much God values you. He set the measurement. He created you in his image, and he said, "You are valuable. You're more valuable than sparrows. You're more valuable than anything else in creation." He purposefully made you and wonderfully made you. And that's how we need to measure ourselves and be reminded of that and forget what the worldview has to say. The worldview is owned by Satan, and he's out to seek, kill, and destroy. That's his role in life. And by listening to that, that's exactly what it'll do to you. He'll steal, he'll rob your joy, he'll bring you down and take you away from the love of God if you allow that. Romans 5:8 says, "God shows his love for us by this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Not while we were righteous, while we were still sinners. So if Satan comes and tells you you're not worthy because you're a sinner, say, "Oh no, God says I am worthy. In fact, he loved me so much that he shed his blood on the cross so I could be made righteous through him." That's worthy. No other God in this world that people talk about has died on a cross for any of them. Jesus Christ is the only God that has died for you because he loves you. God pursues you madly. No other God does that. That is God's desire, is to have you live in his will and his purposes. We need to learn that our identity is in Christ, not in this world. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that. Because this whole game of I'm not worthy, what it does is it starts to separate us from our relationship with God. We start to begin feeling that if I'm not worthy, I can't come to God. He's going to shun me. He's going to say, "Look at what you did. You failure." That is not God, friends. He doesn't do that. You are not a failure in the eyes of God. No matter how much you've fallen down, no matter how much you've sinned, he is ready to pick you back up and say, "You are a child of mine." Yes, there is discipline sometimes. There's consequences. But God doesn't love you any less. He doesn't. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." All things. Through him. He's done it for you. We don't have to beat ourselves and strive and do all these things to get self-worth in our life. Christ has taken all that upon us, said, "You're a child of mine." You don't have to do anything. If you've not accepted Christ, I invite you to accept Christ. And he does this for you. It's only through him that we obtain this righteousness. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Anybody doubt that? I'm telling you right now, all those struggles I went through were before Christ. This was Tim BC. When I came to know Christ, those were no longer struggles in my life. I was a new creation, a new person, made new and sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and had a whole new perspective on life. Not because of anything I did, but because of His true blessing, His gift that He gave me. I remember when the Holy Spirit came into my life after accepting Christ, I had a heart change. I saw life so much different. And over a period of time, He continued to just whittle things out of my life that used to be desires of mine. Whittle them out, whittle them out, whittle them out. You wouldn't recognize me before I knew Christ. You wouldn't recognize me. I was a different person. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So whether Satan tries to tell you you're a sinner, you're condemned, you just speak that verse, Romans 8:1. No, the Bible says there's no condemnation. I'm going to be with the King. He has saved me on the cross, and you can do nothing to take that away from me. I am sealed for the day of redemption. That's who Jesus is. That's the value we have. If you're doubting your value, if you're looking at yourself, if you have self-esteem issues, I beg you to go search for Christ in all these things. Because God's Word ultimately is all that matters. And if God's Word says you are valuable, if God's Word says I love you and you can never separate yourself from my love, then why are you listening to the world standards? Why do you care what the world has to say about you? We need to care about what God has to say. Our self-worth cannot be measured by human standards. If we do, the results will be disappointing and leaving us empty, and it will be unfulfilling. We do all kinds of crazy things in our lives to feel loved and accepted. Crazy stuff. The truth is, you don't have to do anything. You're already loved and accepted. The Creator who molded you and shaped you and put you here for His purposes did it out of love for you. I know we go through struggles in life. I know we're in situations sometimes where we're like, God, how could you let me be in this environment? It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It means that there are people in your life that need Jesus, is what it means. Sometimes we go through trials and struggles. He cares about our soul more than anything else. Our body will perish, our soul will continue. So the question is, does your soul continue in hell? Does it continue in heaven? Because God says, I don't want any man to perish. None. But it's up to us to pursue Him and to live for Him. Our true self-worth has to come from Christ alone. He is the Creator and the Sustainer of all things. Therefore, He alone gets to set the standards. Are you trying to live up to the world standards? Or are you trying to live up to God's standards? Because God says you're already loved and accepted and worth more than anything else. You're the only thing in this entire universe that's been created in His image. You're worth dying for. You're worth being flogged for. That's what God says. That's worth a lot. Jesus said, if you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is the truth of God, that you cannot do anything to escape His love and acceptance and the worth that He set on you. We need to tune out the world and believe God's word. We're going to pray. Father, I thank you so much for showing me these truths in my life, Father. I thank you that in the midst of my pain and suffering, trying to figure out my self-worth, that you showed me, it's already there. I'm worthy of so much because you say I am, not because of anything I've done. We don't have to do anything to gain your approval, your acceptance, your love. We just have to put our trust in you, in your Son, Jesus. Father, for those that are dealing with this today, those that have been stricken with these labels, Father, I just come in the name of Jesus and I break every curse spoken over any person in this room, any negative thing said about them. And I just proclaim your word that says you are a child of God, that nothing can separate you from the love of the Father. And Lord, I thank you for that. You are such a good God, such a righteous God. Father, I thank you for your redemption. Excuse me. Lord, I pray today that we would walk out of here knowing that we are valuable, knowing that the world system is just a big lie. Father, help us to be disciples in this community. Help us to show the love to others that will not find it any other way. Father, let us be a light in this dark world to go forward and to do your will and to share your word. Father, I pray where needs are large that we would be able to meet those needs, Father. That you would show us and continue to develop us into the disciples you called us to be. Father, I pray for the Ligons and the Ferbers as they prepare for this trip coming up. Lord, we just ask your Holy Spirit to just cover them with protection, cover them with strength, cover them with boldness. And Father, your warring angels would already be in New Orleans just preparing the stage and preparing hearts to receive your word. Lord, I pray that you would just knock out every obstacle in their way for this trip and that you would sanctify their households, clear everything away that is coming against them in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that every need in this room would be met. Father, where there is sickness, we pray healing. Where there's poverty, Lord, we pray that you provide meals and food, shelter, everything that is needed, Father. Father, where there are struggles, I pray that you would bring peace. Father, I just thank you for your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.